thanks a bunch for listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. You can listen anytime you want. How's that? Just go to npr.org. We're online all the time. Now it's time for some of the news you can't use unless you want to be fascinating this weekend at your local watering spot. Stories from the back of the paper. We call it the ramble. And since it's never fun to wander through these kind of stories alone, I'm calling in our producer of the day, Dan Pashman. It's Rambling Dan Pashman, as we're going to call you.
That's me. I think this is my first ramble. I'm very excited.
Exciting, exciting. Well, I'm going to start. I'll let you ease into it. I'll start first.
All right. We're going to start. I'll watch you and learn.
Okay, watch and learn, grasshopper. Some news from the auction block. A wooden sculpture of the Supreme Buddha. It broke a record for a work of Japanese art. This thing sold for $14.3 million. The previous record was $1.76 million back in 1990. Now, I shouldn't call it this thing. It's this 800-year-old work of art made from cypress wood, attributed to a very well-known sculptor, Uneki. He's considered one of the greatest carvers of a certain period, the Kamakura period, if that means something to you.
Of course.
It was sold at Christie's in New York. The buyer was a Japanese department store chain, which makes me a little nervous that it's going to end up in some window displays.
Oh, man, I hope not.
I really hope not. Also, in auction news, the fantasy classic The Hobbit by Tolkien went for twice its estimated at auction in London earlier this week. Somebody, we don't know who yet, paid about $122,000 for this rare book. Of course, it's a prequel to Lord of the Rings. This was signed by Tolkien and dedicated to a woman who helped get the book published. It was one of only 1,500 first edition copies.
Wow.
All right, Dan.
I'll bet the person who got that book is uber excited.
Very excited.
Yeah, I got a note to shoplifters here, Allie. Don't bring your kids with you when you want to go to the store.
Check.
A Dutch shoplifter who allegedly took a packet of meat.
See, it's not that easy, is it,
yes,
buddy?
You make it look so easy. A Dutch shoplifter who allegedly took a packet of meat from a supermarket tried to make a quick getaway but left his 12-year-old kid behind.
Oh, no.
The alleged thief ran for his car and even dodged a pursuing supermarket worker who flung himself onto the hood of the guy's car.
This was a Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, what kind of hardcore supermarket worker is this?
I mean, what supermarket worker throws
yourself on the hood of a car to stop a shoplifter? Dutch police used the kid to contact the thief, but he refused to come pick up his son. Oh, my God.
This guy's a real winner.
Seriously. He did later turn himself in. They called the kid's mother, and the father turned himself in. Which reminds me of this famous baseball highlight where there's a home run ball hit to a guy in the front row of the outfield, and he's holding his baby, and the ball's coming right to him, and he dropped the kid so he could catch the ball.
What we do in moments.
Like great moments in bad parenting.
In bad parenting. A team of scientific experts say they know what made an old irrigation canal flood a rural Nevada town back in January. Not erosion, not sabotage, not an earthquake. Rodents. Apparently, they were digging holes as deep as 25 feet into the canal's embankment for years. We're talking muskrats, beavers, gophers, and as they put in the story, other unspecified rodents, which I'm really hoping aren't rats.
This sounds like the description of the basement of my apartment.
I know, right? Water burst through a 50-foot breach in the canal on January 5th in the town near Reno. 600 homes were damaged by up to 8 feet of flood water. And I know this is a really serious story. I did not know. I love beavers, and I didn't know they were rodents. And now I'm really a little skeeved out by that.
It's always hard when, like, a thing that you want to think is cute.
Cute.
Gets classified in an uncute category.
It's rodentia. Mm. I'm going to have to talk about that with my therapist, I think. Dan?
A victory for opponents of so-called Frankenfoods in France, Allie. Earlier this week, France's top court upheld a ban on a variety of pest-resistant corn produced by U.S. seed company Monsanto. This is a big battle, especially in Europe, and France is a real hotbed of the battle over so-called Frankenfoods, genetically modified foods. The French corn growers, who were backed by biotech companies, wanted the ban lifted before the start of spring planting season. They did not have their way. Activists won out. The French court did not buy the biotech arguments, and they said they're keeping the ban in place at least until it takes a look at scientific studies. And this is interesting. I've actually done some reporting on this story, Allie.
Yeah, you were saying that.
And it's a tough situation because on one hand, no one really knows what could happen if we keep eating these foods for 20 or 50 or 100 years. But there's also amazing scientific potential in these things. They could create crops that could grow in the middle of the desert in Africa.
Sure.
With no water.
And help famine.
Right. So great good could come of it, but there's also sort of unknown dangers. So it's kind of an interesting debate. I'm always keeping one eye on it. I find it interesting.
Well, if you want to read about that story or any of the others, or you're upset about beavers being rodents too, go to our blog, npr.org/Bryant Park.
That's
well
right.
Done, Dan Pashman.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.